KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes, joined in the studio today and always by our producer, Kevin Kirsten. We're ready to talk some Fresno State sports. First and foremost, the tailgating lots are just moments from opening around Bulldog Stadium for the final football game of the 2016 season against San Jose State, perhaps the biggest rival for the Bulldogs. Fans out there might be feeling pretty deflated right now, knowing the Dogs at 1-10 have clinched their worst record in school history. But with one game left against a rival in front of your home crowd and hopefully a decent-sized home crowd, how big would a win be for the Bulldogs in terms of momentum and confidence going into the offseason, Kevin?
It's going to be pretty big. They need anything right now that the – I mean, it's been a tough season. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, you just said it. But, I mean, to carry the momentum into next year, yeah, they have to pull off this win. We need people to come out to the stadium. We need to send the seniors out on a high note, something that they can hold on to when they leave. You know, the good feeling of winning the last game in the season has been pretty dismal. I mean, if they could just pull off this last game victory, go on a high note, I think it's going to be real important carrying into the next season. You know, we got a new coach coming in, Tedford, everyone knows that. And, you know, there's going to be some changes, I'm sure. Just to leave on a momentous high note would be probably the best thing that can happen for the Bulldogs as far as this season goes.
It's definitely better than the alternative, that's for sure. And this is a young team. It's a team right now that maybe doesn't really know how to win regularly yet. They don't know that feeling of, you know, going out week after week and expecting to win, being expected to win by others. They're not used to that whole phenomenon that this Fresno State football program has lived a long time. That, you know, the Bulldog football program's never really been in a situation quite like this before. And getting these guys used to winning, used to that feeling of going out knowing you're going to win week after week, or at least most weeks, that has to be one of the top priorities with Jeff Tedford and his staff coming in, taking over in preparation for next season as soon as this game's over today. The Bulldogs, they lost a heartbreaker last Saturday, 14-13, after having the potential game-winning field goal blocked by Hawaii. Really rough way to lose the game. And I could overhear some fans in the stadium say, you know, what other ways is there to lose? You feel bad for the guys. You see how bad they want it, how hard they're playing out there. You really want them to feel that success before the season's over. This is their one final opportunity for this year. So we got to hope the Bulldogs get out there and take it to maybe their longest time arch rival, San Jose State. I mean, this is a series that dates back decades, going back to the Big West Conference, the WAC, the PCAA before that. These two schools have always been rivals. You know, San Jose State in the 80s especially had the toughest competition for the Bulldogs, and those games were some real barn burners back in the day and a heated rivalry, to say the least. But going back to the Hawaii game last week, Fresno State, they led by 6 points late in that game, 13-7. The Bulldogs had a scoring drive where it looked like they were really taking control of that game. The whole game, they were, you know, they were right there in the thick of it. Hawaii scored first, went up 7-0. The Bulldogs came back, tied it up at 7 going into the half. And then Fresno State comes out, gets a couple field goals, and takes a 13-7 lead there late. Hawaii goes on that final drive and just kind of marches downfield with the Bulldogs playing zone coverage, and they end up scoring with 59 seconds left to take the 14-13 lead. Still, Fresno State marches right downfield. They get set up for a 43-yard field goal. You've got Cody Croning, the Bulldogs kicker, who's made 15 straight.
He doesn't miss.
Yeah. I mean, 15 straight, a nation best 15 straight. And so you're thinking, hey, if he gets this off clean, it's going through.
Yeah.
Looked like he did get it off pretty clean. Bit of a high snap maybe, but nothing that should have changed the success of the kick. And he gets it off, and Hawaii just gets a hand up there. They had a 6'7" guy who just blocked the kick and got some penetration on that right side of the line. So really deflating for the Bulldog Stadium crowd to see that day, the red wave. You could hear the, you know, kind of the
gasps,
the air just let out of the crowd there. I'm sure the players felt the same way, the coaches. These coaches, too, this interim staff led by interim coach Keesaw, they want to get a win for these guys. As hard as these guys have worked all year, you always want them to see some success. You want them to be able to go into the locker room and sing the Bulldog Spirit song they sing after each victory. So one more chance. That's today at 12:30. Those tailgate lots will open at 8:30, so get on out to Bulldog Stadium. Cheer on the Dogs. going back to the Hawaii loss, that blocked field goal ended up costing the Bulldogs the game, but it was really that previous drive where Fresno State ended up settling for a field goal. They started on their own 10-yard line, drove all the way to the Hawaii 10 behind a running game that was really churning out yards better than they have all season long.
I know.
You had Zach Klein playing quarterback the whole game. He had some big keepers where he got big chunks of yardage. You had the true freshman, Josh Hokett from Clovis High School, really running a physical style of football. It felt like Bulldog football. It felt like what these coaches have been saying they want to see from these guys all year long. And you're getting that from a true freshman, a walk-on, who I think he turned some heads. You could feel, just sitting in the stands, you could feel the difference of, you know, a guy who wanted it that bad, where he was just sacrificing himself, really just exuding everything he had into each run, getting physical, doing everything he could to stay on his feet after contact. So it was nice to see that. Unfortunately, at one point in the game, it looked like he got a little bit nicked up. So we'll see if he's able to go full strength today against San Jose State. Hopefully he can. Hopefully we'll get another taste of what he can do. I mean, he played against Hawaii with just 3 days at the running back position.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Converted over from a linebacker. Did play a little bit of fullback this year, but that was really his first time playing tailback, getting the majority of the carries, and he had darn near 100 yards on the day.
Yeah, and Keesaw said if he had known it, he was so close to 100 yards, he probably would give him another carry so he can get that extra 3 yards to hit 100. But he's a multitasker, right? You know, he come over from linebacker to running back, and then doesn't he also want to take on football and wrestling next season, I think?
Yeah, he was a state champion wrestler at Clovis High, so there's been talk about him, you know, doing that for the Dogs as well under new coach Troy Steiner. When the Bulldog wrestling program starts competition next fall, he would be probably in that heavyweight class or a step just below it. So it'll be interesting to see him doing both. His brother is a wrestler as well, who I believe is headed over to the Dogs from Clovis High. So it'll be nice to see, you know, another two-sport athlete. I remember back in my childhood days, Lorenzo Neal was doing that for the Bulldogs. He was the heavyweight wrestler for the team. I think he was third in the nation that year, and he was also a star running back for the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
He, you know, before he was the fullback that everyone knew him as in the NFL, he was at Fresno State getting carries and rushing for over 100 yards. So maybe we're seeing a bit of the same type of storyline developing here with Josh Hokett.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, at least we could look forward to seeing him more next season and see what he's actually going to be able to turn into as a running back. You know, it's going to be a lot to balance, you know, if he's going to do the two sports, but I mean, they do a good job here of keeping athletes focused. Hopefully he can, you know, pull it all together and be able to take on all those things and be a positive contribution to the team next year and to the running game, which has been lacking this season, as you know.
Right. The trickiest part about it when you're talking about wrestling and football, combining those two sports, is they overlap.
Yeah.
So part of the season, there's going to be some real scheduling conflicts there that they'll have to work out between the two coaches. But I heard Troy Steiner last night on the Bulldog Insider on TV say that he's already talked to Jeff Tedford about the possibility of making that work for the student athlete next year. And, you know, it's got to be good for him to hear that both coaches are already looking out for his
on
best interest
it,
as
yeah.
far as that goes. So still looking for that first win this year against an FBS opponent. The other win came against the FCS Sac State. The Bulldogs really, you know, now they've lost 9 straight on the year. They're really looking to end these streaks, get some positive momentum going into the offseason. It's really hard to think, you know, like this when the team's 1-10, but the most optimistic of fans out there could look at this season and say the Dogs are really close to being 5-6 right now. I mean, you got the 1-point loss to Hawaii. You've got the Air Force game.
Yeah, the Air Force game, man.
Where the Bulldogs had a chance to go up 21-0. They were right there knocking on the door.
Yep.
Ball gets picked off in the end zone by Air Force, and from there, you know, Air Force slowly starts chipping away, getting back into the game, ends up winning it. Then there's the game at Nevada where the Bulldogs had, you know, some tricky clock issues there late in the game, but they end up stalling at like the 2-yard line. All they had to do was get a couple more yards and they get the game-winning touchdown. That one, you know, may hurt more than any because they were just so close to winning. They finish out the drive against Hawaii where they stalled at the 10, kicked a field goal from the 10-yard line. If they could have got those 10 more yards, that game was over. It would have been 17-7. Hawaii wouldn't have had enough time unless they pulled off a quick touchdown, an onside kick, and another score. I mean, then you look at the Tulsa game where the Bulldogs led 31-0 early in the season. Let that one slip away in overtime. So, I mean, that's those are four games right there that the Bulldogs really had good shots to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's crazy to think of right now because the team is 1-10. But if they pulled off those four games, they'd be 5-6 right now, saying, "Hey, let's go beat San Jose State and become bowl eligible."
Mm-hmm,
what a
sure.
difference that would make!
Yeah, like you said, it was just one play away from winning a game, or you know, a couple drop passes or something like that, a blocked field goal. You know, so the Bulldogs can't really hang their heads too low. I mean, obviously, most losses in a season is not really something to be proud of, but on the positive side, you can look at it that way. They were just a couple plays away from winning half of these games. You could use that as momentum going into next year, and Tedford's going to bring some new energy, make it a big turnaround from this year.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm one of those glass half full guys. I like to look at things in a positive light as possible, optimistic person. And in a season where there aren't many positives to take away, maybe those close losses, coupled with the fact that this team is slated to have a lot of returning starters last year, a lot of guys with experience who are young right now in the program, those guys develop over the offseason. That could be plenty of cause for hope for this Red Wave, who's hungry to see the team get back to its norm. You know, unfortunately, none of those pivotal games went Fresno State's way, and now they're in a very difficult position, really only playing for pride and the future today and trying to send out these seniors on a positive note. San Jose State's in a similar situation with no chance at a bowl game themselves. Last year in San Jose, which, you know, has been sort of a home away from home for Fresno State the past few decades, the Bulldogs really traveled well to San Jose, a lot of times outdrawing the home team there. And last year, you know, they had a good crowd there too. Same thing in 2013 when the Bulldogs' undefeated season was ruined in San Jose, pretty shockingly. And then last year they go to San Jose and just really get out physical the whole game. San Jose State has their way with the Bulldogs, and that's something I think any of these players who were there for that game last year, any of these fans who were there for that game, they're going to want to see the Bulldogs come out and show better against San Jose State and kind of avenge last year's loss.
They're going to bring everything they have in the tank. It's the last game for seniors. It's the last game for everyone for the season, but of course they remember it, and they're not going to want to get tossed around, or they're not going to want to go out like that again this year. Just get this win. I mean, we just need one win to go in the next season and make everyone feel just a little bit better.
With that said, we'll take you now to interim coach Eric Kiesaw and his thoughts headed into today's season finale.
It's a special week for them and obviously a special game. And I'm kind of appreciating the team obviously the last couple of weeks, but obviously more importantly this week to really finish strong and get these seniors out with a win on the way out.
How do you, I know you talked about it in the moment, and it was clear how stunning that development was at the end of the game and how emotionally draining that was to have Hawaii win on the blocked field goal. Looking back at the game now with a little distance between that finish, what jumps out at you as far as missed opportunities or where that game got away from you?
I think you hit it right on the head. I think there's some huge opportunities we missed in that game. We had a couple of drop balls. One that was critical, with a wheel route up the right sideline on their sideline that would have gone down probably to the 10-15 yard line. Probably could have scored a touchdown there, or even a field goal. But we end up getting a holding penalty that comes back 3rd and 18. Then we have to punt. So there are some moments in that game you kind of reflect on. Obviously, the main focal point is the block field goal at the end of the game. That's what everybody wants to look at and focus on, which was important because we didn't close the door and finish it. But there were some drives throughout that game, offensively and defensively, we kind of done better so we weren't in that position at the end.
Do you think that includes your next to last drive? Could you have maybe used a little more, consumed a little more clock that field goal drive?
Sure. You know, you're talking about the last drive of the game?
The last one that you scored on when you had it before Hawaii went down to take the lead.
Yeah. I mean, you'd obviously like to chew some clock out, but again, we just have to kind of operate within the framework of the game plan and what we had going. And I thought we were doing a good job moving the ball, running the ball really well, you know, better than we have obviously the last 3 or 4 weeks. So, I mean, I thought it was kind of set up good. And then we got to that last drive. And again, even though it didn't go that well, you know, on that particular drive, then we come back, have a minute left, and march the length of the field and put ourselves in position to win the game at the end.
And you even had to overcome a drop on that possession. And I think if you added up four drops that I remember, that's probably more passing yardage drops than Zach ended up with in the game.
Yeah, we actually had five drops in the game. There's two in that final drive. We have to make those plays. I mean, it's just because, again, on that final drive with the two drops, if you make those catches, you're closer and you have more time on the clock. And maybe it's a different situation where maybe we can run it, get maybe 5 yards closer, maybe try to take a shot at the end zone, score a touchdown. Again, we're not in that field goal range situation. So those drops are critical. They really are. So we have to focus on the ball and make those plays.
I know you're not looking to make excuses, but can you attribute any of the drop issue with a change in quarterback because the ball comes in hotter? Because we've seen that in Zach's previous games, too. I mean, some balls right in the hands.
Yeah. No, I would never use that excuse at all. It's just now if the ball was off or behind him or low or high, I would say yes. But a few of those balls are right on the money. That's just lack of focus and concentration. And like I said, you got to make those plays.
So what's your plan at quarterback against the Spartans?
We'll do the same. Obviously, Zach will trot out there first. Again, we'll see how it goes. If he gets hot and stays hot, we'll keep him in. If we feel like we need to make a change, we can do that as well. But we'll kind of keep them both out there because we got to go with the hot hand and who's managing the game well and who's making good decisions and to put ourselves in that position to win.
What do you think about Zach's development? I know it's been kind of a short sample size, but what did you see in the latest game that maybe you haven't seen earlier this year? Maybe stuff is still needs to work on.
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing is just getting comfortable in his drops, just taking the correct drop and staying in rhythm and throwing the ball. There's a few times where he actually shortened his drop up and the rush was closer to him, so he thought he was under pressure, and he really wasn't. If he just stays in rhythm and gets his correct depth, he'll have more room to throw. And really early in the game, we ran the ball to try to protect him a little bit because we knew it was his first start. Didn't want to put him in a bad position early. And I think once he settled in and got comfortable with just the whole game environment and playing and being the starter and being out there every down, that's when we started to open up and throw the ball a little more. So that, now that we got that out of the way, we'll be able to get to more things faster in this upcoming game.
And I know you guys didn't finish it off with a field goal at the end, but a drive like that, especially with a couple drops in there, it seemed like you made a bunch of great throws on that one. You know, getting yourself into position to win a game in the final, I mean, what can that do for a guy's confidence who hasn't, you know, played a ton in his college career?
Sure. You know, I think the whole game. I mean, I think really when you look at the body of the whole game, he really did a really good job. He was 13 of 23, and with five drops, he would have been 18 of 23, and really threw some really strong balls. He was correct reads. He's on the right side of the field. It's just more that you've got to get back into that game management, taking the correct drop, being on the delivering a ball, which he did. I mean, he really did a good job. I was really happy to watch him go out there and really settle down and just kind of get in the flow of a game, and that's why we left him in, because I didn't really see any panic or poor decisions. So the way the game was going, we were running the ball really well, which really helps the quarterback, obviously. So when you're getting 4, 5, 6 yards a pop, it really kind of takes a lot of the pressure off the quarterback. So that really helped him, and he settled in and did a good job for us.
Was it just cramps? Is he
going to
be fine?
Yeah, he's just cramped up. He hasn't played that much football in a long time, so kind of got after him a little bit. No, he's good. He's fine.
What did his performance and just kind of having that power running game with him mean to you guys on the sideline?
I think he got the whole sideline fired up, to be honest. I mean, it really did. You have that ability to – just the nature and the style of how you play, you can create some excitement around you. And then when you get excitement and guys get fired up, then they start playing a little harder. And I think it's good. I think they all kind of feed off each other. And I was really proud of him for only being on the job for 3 days. He really went out there and played really hard and made some key plays for us. And like I said, ran the ball for us, which we really need. So I'm really happy for Josh. He's done a great job.
Anything special planned for the seniors this week?
We have the tackle day, which we'll have. The tradition has been around for about 20 years. We'll do that as well. And then we'll have actually the senior run out on game day. That's about it, yeah.
And what does this final game mean for you as head coach here, you know, getting this opportunity? I'm not sure. I know your future is still kind of puzzling at this point exactly
sure.
what's going to happen. But, you know, are you kind of reveling this too, you know, this opportunity, this last game here as a head coach, you know, in this short time period?
Yeah, and I think not just this week. I think it's, you know, when the whole transition started, I tried to just really just embrace every day and just really enjoy it and have it be a learning experience. And, obviously the wins and losses aren't what we wanted. But other than that, I've really enjoyed it. I've had a lot of fun doing it. I've enjoyed the players and the camaraderie and just the kind of coming together and close. You know, you're going through some adversity. You really kind of see the team getting closer and playing really hard. I mean, you saw it last week in last week's game. Their effort was undoubtedly really, really good. They flew around and played hard. And they just, even though they're going through adversity and they go through some hard times, they're still battling. They're still fighting to the end. And that's what I'm proud of. So I really enjoyed the whole time. I really have. Like I said, the wins and losses haven't been there. But I really love these kids. They do a great job. They play their hearts out. And we just got to keep pushing. Got to take one day at a time here and get to that last game and make sure all of our preparation, everything we can do, everything we possibly can do in this last week, put everything out there. I don't care if we just stay till midnight every night. We're going to stay here and find answers. If it's moved guys around different positions, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure these guys go out with a win on Saturday.
I see you have Wyatt McBee listed first on the depth chart at defensive end. We saw him get a lot of playing time in that second half the other night. What has he done to earn that opportunity?
Like I said, he's just playing really hard. And I mean, and that's the big thing we want. And we show clips the guys in our team meeting about the type of effort we want and what we expect. And he's been doing that. I think the D-line's really in the last couple weeks have really stepped up. We started to rotate some more guys in so they're fresh. Obviously, with the bye week helped out the freshness as well. But I think just collectively as a group, they're playing really, really hard. They made some key plays in the game last week. So he's got to continue that. So he's done a great job. Like I said, he just plays extremely hard. He knows what he's doing. And that's what we need. We need guys on the field that are going to play to their full potential, and he's doing that right now.
Say the same about Stratton Brown. Saw him in the back of the room. I'm sure we're going to hear from him in a moment, but what have you seen from him down the stretch of his senior season?
Stratton's just always around the ball. You know, he's always flying around. He's always got a great smile on his face out of practice. He's the guy that kind of rallies the troops on the defense. A lot of guys look up to him. They got a lot of respect for him. And again, it's the way he plays. I think he's leading the team in tackles right now, and he's been a really good player for us, a good leader for us. So, like I said, he's another guy I'm pulling for big time for this weekend. I really want him to go out with a win here in home Bulldog Stadium.
And there was some buzz about the golden screwdriver last week, but there's an actual big, heavy trophy for this game, the Big B for Valley, Silicon Valley, San Joaquin Valley. What would it mean to see your seniors get to carry off that trophy on Saturday?
It'd be unbelievable. It really would be. It'd be a great way to kind of send off and kind of finish this year off, because there's been a lot of adversity and ups and downs. So if we could finish it with an up and those guys can carry that trophy off the field, it'd be probably a memory I'll probably remember for the rest of my life, really, to be honest with you. Just for everything these kids have gone through, the way they battled, the way they stuck together, they really deserve it. And I think they'll come out to practice tomorrow ready to go. They have a good look in their eye.
San Jose State's record isn't impressive, but their last couple games, they've showed a lot being competitive with Boise State. Really, Air Force stole that game with turnovers the other night. What do you see from the Spartans? What makes you dangerous?
So, you know, they're kind of like us. I mean, they're playing really hard, too. And they have some athletes. They got some guys that can really play. They're very sound. And I think it'd be another good, you know, Mountain West challenge. I really do. I think it's going to be a good game. It's really going to come to the bottom line with who's going to outwork them, who's going to out-physical them, who's going to outplay them, and who's going to sustain that for four quarters. I think whoever does that will have more points at the end of the day. But I think it's going to be a great challenge. I'm looking forward to the game.
Coach, how familiar are you with the Fresno State and San Jose State rivalry? It's the Bulldogs' oldest rival going back to the 20s.
Yeah, me personally, I've really just talked to a lot of people on the staff and some of the former players, and you know, got a little insight on the importance of this game. And you know, really, I don't want to discredit the rival at all, and I truly mean what I'm about to say, is we got to treat this game like it's any other game. You can't build it up to be something bigger than it is, because then you're going to get out of your element and you start doing things you normally wouldn't do. You have to really kind of stay within yourself. It's another football game. And that really goes for if you're playing the 49ers, or you're playing the Mighty Mighty team down the road, or if you're playing San Jose State, or if you're playing Boise State. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It's about your preparation and how we conquer this week and go out and play. Just the logo on the helmet's different, and that's this week. So we're not going to make a big point of you know, the rival game, or build it up to something that it's they have to do something extra or put a cape on their back and be Superman. Just don't change. Just do what we're doing. Continue the process. Keep building on what we're building on, doing things positive. And then because we're getting close, and then we've got to close that door this weekend.
You talked about the seniors and having the senior tackle with them on Friday, and obviously the preparation leading up to the game. What's the plan for Thursday, Thanksgiving, to make sure that everyone has a place to go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to we'll practice in the morning. They'll probably be done, I don't know, 11:30, and then we're going to let them obviously have Thanksgiving. And we have quite a few moving parts. You know, we have obviously the kids that are local here, they can go home. Our coaching staff, if they're from out of state or out of the area, they can go to their coach's house in particular. We actually have some parents driving up from L.A. They're going to drive up here and make kind of a bigger dinner for some of the guys at the players' apartment. So we're making sure everybody in the team is accounted for and they have a place to go on Thanksgiving. And they can come to my house, the position coach's house, anybody's house. But we'll definitely reflect on Thanksgiving, be thankful for the things we have. And we'll do that Thursday, and then we'll come back Friday and practice.
Coach, how has Chasen handled last week's bench units? How has he taken that?
Like an absolute rock star. He's really done a great job, smile on his face. He's actually helping Zach. We had our meeting on Sunday watching the film, and they're actually talking about some reads and things they could do. So he's doing a really good job of handling it. You know, there's two ways you can go. You can feel sorry for yourself and be in the tank and be a negative, you know, we call him an energy vampire in the room, or you can be a positive guy and help us out. Hey, this is the circumstance we're in. How are you going to handle it? It's just like anything else. When you throw a pick or if you have a fumble or any adversity comes, how do you handle it? And I think he's actually doing an absolute phenomenal job. Already, he's got a smile on his face, comes to work every day, and trying to help the guys out around him. So, again, it's just another reflection of these kids and where they're at, and I'm really proud of them.
And what's his role during the game? And are you able, do you have that time to coach him in the game?
It's hard during the game, you know, obviously with, you know, doing the head coach's duties and then obviously calling the plays, and you got to talk to the offense when the defense is on the field. You have a lot of moving parts and a lot of things going on. So, but he's observing, he's there watching, he's obviously in tune to what's going on in the game and with the reads, and because you never know if something happened to Zach, he's got to jump back in there, or if Zach isn't being consistent and not moving the ball, then he could jump back in there as well. So, but yeah, he's doing a really good job. He's staying in tune. He's staying in connected to the game plan. He's still here watching film and taking notes, so they both have to kind of prepare and be ready to go.
We all kind of assume that, you know, if Coach Tedford wants you on his staff, that you'll be back. But is there a chance now with, you know, a little head coaching experience on your resume that you'll throw your name into the hat for some other jobs?
Yeah, you know, we'll see. We'll cross that bridge, next week. Obviously, I want to talk to Coach Tedford first, kind of see what he has to say and kind of what his thoughts are. But then the search goes on if it doesn't work out here. So. I definitely have the bug. I love it. I think there's certain people in this world that are built to be head coaches and wired to be head coaches. After now sitting in the seat for 4 weeks and being hands-on, I feel like I am. I do love calling plays. I do love being part of the offense. So whatever the role has or whatever the big fella upstairs has planned for me down the road, he'll let me know. But just got to finish this week, and then we'll handle next week when it happens.
Number one priority maybe for right now, though, you think you'd like to come back?
If the opportunity presents itself, I would love to. I really do. I mean, that's why I came here. I mean, last year when I had opportunities to go other places, I chose to be here. I wanted to be here. I want to be in California. I love recruiting California. Obviously, Fresno State's important. I love the Valley. There's a lot of good things about this place, and I think it's heading in the right direction. I think it's going to have good leadership moving forward, and I would love to be a part of it. I really would. But that would be up to the staff and the direction they want to go.
Josh Hookett was your leading rusher for the game this weekend. I'm in there as a freshman. We talked a lot about him coming in as a walk-off in Clovis. He's trying to get on the field wherever he can. What can you say about what he provided and what kind of player he'll be for this team?
This guy can play a lot of different positions. That's the cool thing about him. He's such a great kid, smile on his face. He can play joker for us. He can play linebacker for us. He can obviously play running back for us. He can be a special teams player for us. He's just a really talented kid and really athletic, smart. I mean, if you watch some of the things he did at running back, he's a natural instinct to kind of set up blocks and put his foot in the ground and go. He's just a football player. I don't know how to explain that. There's some guys that have it, and they're just very natural and instinctive to football. He's one of those guys. So I think wherever he goes, you know, after next week, whatever position he plays, I think he'll flourish. I really do. I think he'll do really good. He just has very natural football instincts, and I think you saw that last week, and hopefully he'll be hopefully get another 100 yards for us this week as well. Be good.
That was Eric Kesaw, who will be leading the Dogs today in his final game as interim coach before Jeff Tedford takes the reins heading into the offseason. Make sure you get out to Bulldog Stadium for the special 12:30 p.m. kickoff, a rare day game at Bulldog Stadium, an early afternoon game. Should be nice football weather with plenty of time to get home and enjoy some family time after the game as well. Also, big basketball action coming up today. The women's hoops team faces UC Irvine in Los Angeles at noon, looking for a nice non-conference win after yesterday's game against Belmont. And the women and men both return home for a doubleheader Wednesday, with the men hosting Menlo College at 5 p.m., the women hosting San Francisco at 7 p.m. Kevin, it's Thanksgiving weekend. Anything you're particularly thankful for this year?
How could I not say that I'm not thankful for my new 3-week-old daughter in my house? So I'm especially thankful for that. I have a healthy baby. The mama's healthy. My son's healthy. He just turned 8 recently. So everything's going good. My whole family that's around me. So
I think when it really gets down to it, talking about family's health, your friend's health, it really doesn't get much better than that. That's the most important thing. And I think it's good to reflect on that during the holiday season and really, really think about that. I'm certainly thankful for my family and friends and everyone's health. That's it for today's show. Thank you for listening, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for another Fresno State Sports Report on 90.7 KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.